Welcome to the Webisop Startup Trailblazer podcast. I'm Christian, your host, the CEO and co-founder of Webisoft. This is a startup life episode coming to you twice a week, where we interview a startup founder around the world, asking them similar questions, because we are all different, but we are all the same. Enjoy. Hey, welcome to the Webisoft Startup Trailblazer podcast. Today, I have with me a very young entrepreneur, the youngest amongst the one that I've interviewed thus far, but very brilliant. His name is Matt. He's the co-founder of Phrenalytics, a platform that helps neurologically impaired patients in their rehabilitation through the use of individualized treatment programs. So how are you, Matt? How's it going?
Hi, Christian. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. As a full disclaimer, Matt is actually a client of mine. We started working together about 3 months ago, I loved your vision and the mission that you have with Phrenalytics. So before we dive into what is Phrenalytics, I wanted to ask you a little bit about you. So if I were to ask you, who is Matt, how would you describe yourself? Who are you? Where are you from? Where are you going?
Sure, that's a great question. If I had to describe myself, well, first off, I'm from New York.
Okay.
I'm 21 years old. I just graduated college.
Oh, congratulations.
If I were to describe to somebody, thank you. If I were to describe somebody to somebody about myself, I would say Matt is a very driven, passionate individual who puts himself, or at least tries to put himself, behind everybody else. He really has an interest for taking care of other people, no matter what dimension or in what regard that is.
Okay.
I'm really motivated, and I love discovering solutions to problems that are out there, whether it's in my current company, Phrenalytics, as you just mentioned, or in any other avenues that I've explored in the past, or anything that might come up in the future. I think it's an incredible way to kind of give back to the community and improve the lives of people around me.
That's very cool. That's very cool. So you are Matt, as you pointed out, you are 21. So I think it's amazing that you're already an entrepreneur by this age, but how did you become an entrepreneur? Like, were you always an entrepreneur since you were a kid? Did this urge of being an entrepreneur just came up like recently?
That's a great question. Ever since I was little, I was really interested in creating solutions to whatever I came up with, very largely technology focused. So even before I could speak, I was on the computer, creating games for my younger brother, creating websites as I got older for other children my age, creating a consulting company when I was in high school for those in my community. And like you mentioned, my most recent venture and my largest to date is creating a software program to help neurologically impaired patients. So that's definitely my passion, and it has been for about 10 years now. But I do have a history of, starting businesses and really being passionate about entrepreneurship.
That's cool. That's very cool. So as you said, we mentioned Phrenalytics a couple of times. So in a few sentences, if somebody asks you what is Phrenalytics, what is the problem that you aim to solve to this company? Basically, what does the company do?
Sure. So Phrenalytics is a web-based application that helps in the assessment and aids in the rehabilitation of patients who suffer from a variety of brain injuries, whether that be a stroke, a traumatic brain injury, dementia, post-traumatic stress disorder. There's a whole variety of neurological deficits that millions and millions of patients suffer from every year, not only in the United States, but around the world. And my program is designed to really make that recovery process more personal and involving family members in addition to the medical staff of the patient that clinic is working with, and help them recover in a more personal and more importantly, a much faster and more pleasurable way. The main way that we do that is incorporating personal information about that patient. So for example, on our web-based program, family members can answer questions about the patient, and in turn, those questions and answers are presented to the patient in a game-like scenario, where the patient can undergo different therapy sessions that function as a game. Mm-hmm. When they see questions that are about themselves, in particular a family photo or a picture of their house, mm-hmm. we found that they're much more inclined to not only be receptive to the program, but improve at a much faster pace as opposed to using flashcards or something along those lines. And just to get a little bit into our background, because I'm sure you might be interested in that as well.
Yes, definitely.
This whole idea started from my grandmother who stroked back in 2008, so a little over 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was 11 years old when I was in the hospital watching her wow. with a life-changing stroke mm-hmm. as a result of an open heart surgery. Mm-hmm. So she completely 180'd. She was paralyzed on her right side. Her mm-hmm. left side of the brain was severely and irreversibly impacted to the point that mm-hmm. she couldn't speak on her own, mm-hmm. let alone understand what we were saying and kind of communicate back to us. So as she progressed a little bit over time, I saw her using those exact flashcards that I mentioned just mm-hmm. before yep. with rehab specialists. And not only was she not improving with them, but she would push those away with her good hand, indicating that she wanted nothing to do with them.
I see.
So what I did at the time was I made a PowerPoint game with these mm-hmm. very personal questions as opposed to a stick figure.
I'm sorry to stop you, but first of all, everybody, you have to remember Matt is 11 years old at that time. I mean, why? I mean, besides the fact that you have compassion and love for your grandmother, why were you driven to solve that problem? How did you connect the dots, basically? Was it just that your grandmother couldn't communicate and you wanted to solve that problem? Or what was that drove you to this solution?
It's still crazy for me to think, honestly, Christian. I don't really know what went through my 11-year-old mind at the time. Okay. But there was definitely a sense of passion and just a real longing to help her improve. Just a little bit background into the medical field that I'm now involved in. Both mm-hmm. my parents are in the medical field. And when I was younger, I wanted to be a doctor. Line of, you know, compassion runs a long way in my family's blood and even in mine, you know, up until now, but especially when I was younger. So mm-hmm. I wanted to take care of patients however I could. Ironically, I'm not a doctor, but I'm now caring for patients from an entrepreneurial spirit.
Yep. Yeah, that's a very cool story, and it shows that from pain or from adversity can actually come beautiful things. That's one of the reasons I was really, really interested, you know, in working with you guys. So
absolutely.
If you were to pick a day and have you know, some beers and go to the bar to celebrate your company's birthday, like when you created your company, so what would that day be, and what year did you create it?
So there are a couple of dates. That sounds like okay. a great idea. We should get together for drinks. So the original date when this PowerPoint program was created specifically for my grandma was a few weeks after she stroked back in 2008. So I was 11. I had this PowerPoint working at the time and, you know, doing things that nobody thought PowerPoint could do. Mm-hmm. So that was running. And then a few years later, I showed it to a family friend who's now my business partner. His name yes. is Chris.
Yep.
And he was the one who ultimately saw greater use cases in what we were doing. Mm-hmm. So that was, I believe, in 2011 or so. Then we went through the process of getting this program and the methodology behind stroke rehabilitation patented. So we kind of expanded our horizons back in 2011 and 2012.
So you
and then the company, Think Group Holdings, which I'm now part of, mm-hmm. was founded in 2013.
So the company is 5 years old formally, but you patented this this approach in 2011 when you were what? You
Correct.
Were 13?
I was 14 or 15 in high school. Wow. I was a sophomore when wow. I was at the Fatten's office.
Wow. That's
crazy.
I mean,
I know.
That's amazing. I'm 36 and I don't have a patent. God damn it, man. You're putting us all to shame. That is very good.
It even blows my mind. It's crazy to think that's how I spent my high school afternoon. But
that is
very
that
rewarding is, nonetheless.
That is very good. That is very good. So, you know, since you started your company, what has been the biggest challenge?
I think there are a number of things. The first okay. is bringing a medical product, or bringing any product really, but especially mm-hmm. in the medical field, out to the market. Mm-hmm. There are a number of regulations and a lot of laws to follow, especially in regards to HIPAA, as you know,
yes.
As we've worked through some of the development process. Mm-hmm. So people are very wary of the programs that they use in their hospitals, and rightfully so.
Yes.
So I think it's a little difficult to, you know, as a new startup, be able to sell various clinics, whether it's a hospital or, you know, some other type of facility, and like, hey, I have this new program. I think you should really use it. Not only use it, but we want you to pay for it. And, you know, we can promise you up and down that we're going to take care of your patients and all the info you give us. But, you know, there's no real way for us to safeguard that. So I think that's one thing. And I'm sure a lot of companies struggle with that day to day. But for a startup like ours, I'm sure it's especially difficult just being in the shoes that I'm in. The second of which is being
hold,
able
hold,
to...
Matt, hold that thought. We're going to come back.
Sure.
And we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back right after this. Don't go anywhere. Thanks.
Sounds good.
Get digital and go global with WebLeaseSoft. At WebLeaseSoft, we offer communication and IT services, create websites, mobile apps, and give you wide visibility on social media. Startupers, business persons, small and medium-sized enterprises, don't miss this opportunity. Get your website or mobile app now. Contact 673-042-029. Email info@webleaseoft.com. Think positive. Think WebLeaseSoft.
All right, and we are back with Mr. Matt. He was describing to us the biggest challenges that he had when starting Frenalytics, and he mentioned some of the regulation regarding HIPAA, which is basically protecting the patient data. And he was about to go into the second challenge. Matt, take it away.
Exactly. Thanks, Christian. So as you mentioned, the first is especially for a young startup like ours, being able to bring a medical product out into the marketplace, especially with HIPAA protection, which is great for patients, but it's, you know, difficult to sell those on to various hospitals or clinics or what have you. The second challenge that I personally face, just being such a young entrepreneur, is juggling school and jobs on top of my startup life. So typically, you know, I'd be able to work on this, you know, in the nighttime. I'll have, you know, 9, 10, 11 o'clock phone calls between my business partner, sending out emails, you know, in the middle of the night to various clients or whatnot. So that's been a bit of a challenge, but it's really interesting. And I think it taught me really well, not only to be self-disciplined, but it also taught me time management from a young age, which I think would come in very handy as an entrepreneur in whatever field you might be in.
Yes. And one thing that I can tell you as another entrepreneur is that it's a crucial skills. And, you know, this, it seems like 24 hours is never enough. But I think...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think some people say one of the solutions might be to streamline the things that you are doing, but it's kind of hard. I don't know. So do you use any tools to manage your time or stuff like that? Or you take, what do you use?
I'm a big fan of the Google Suite of different programs. So whether it's Gmail and sending reminders in there, formally using their calendar, I use that both in my real job and through Frenalytics. And as you know, through our development work, in order to meet deadlines and to kind of assign tasks on, you know, meeting sprint cycles and whatnot, we use the Asana from a more formal business sense. So I think that combination of tools is really helpful to keep me on track and, you know, kind of know what's going on day to day, and then also look out into the near future and even the long term, and making sure that we're meeting all of our deadlines.
Nice. So as a business owner, you know, there are different, you know, there are different challenges, there are things that we like a lot, you know, we like to do a lot in our company. For example, me, I'm an engineer at heart, so I like to design, I like to code. But one of the parts that I do not like the most is basically managing. it's been so I've learned that over the years, but that's not my favorite part to do naturally. So as far as you are concerned, what is the part that you enjoy the most in your most to do in your business?
The part that I enjoy the most, I think, is developing something and then showing it to anyone, really, whether it's the end user, which is probably most important, or whether it's my brother, someone in my family, a friend, a coworker, you know, another member of the team, and seeing the reaction, whether it's good or bad. Ideally, a good reaction will be best. And that's especially, you know, validating and really exciting to see when, you know, I'm not so sure of myself. If the direction that a new feature is going in is the right one or the wrong one, and they can give me that real honest feedback and tell me this is fantastic, or, you know, this needs a lot of work. Because it gets, not only does it get a second set of eyes on it, but it also helps me put in the context of, will people use this and will people enjoy it? And I think that's the most important thing of all. We can make what we think is the best program in the world, but unless it's actually useful and it has benefits to the end user of, you know, who we're ideally targeting, you know, there's not much purpose in creating something that's great for us, but not for others.
That's very true. That's very true. So basically, talking to the customers, having that constant feedback, and basically iterating to help you iterate and improve your product.
Exactly. And working with a development team, you know, with someone as fantastic as yourself, and also working on the other members of our team, and, you know, really having those discussions. And it's great to see that, you know, when your eyes light up and when Chris's eyes light up and the rest of our team, you know, they understand what I'm saying and vice versa. I think that's a really rewarding feeling to have.
That's very cool. What is the less enjoyable part of your work?
The least enjoyable part.
Yes, least enjoyable part. I'm sorry. Yes.
probably the back and forth with clients who are likely on different schedules than we are. And it's also hard to estimate how long things will take, and then watching it end up taking either much longer or much shorter. So kind of forecasting and estimating how things will go for other people when I, you know, have a set timeline of things in my head, and when they, you know, kind of go off track, it's it's kind of hard to adjust to that. Perhaps it's one of my least favorite parts, but I mean, all in all, if the, you know, if something that I was doing, I really wasn't a fan of it, I wouldn't be as far as I am right now. Like, I truly love, you know, every moment that we've gone through with Frenalytics, and I'm just really happy to be a part of this.
That's really cool. You mentioned that you have a partner. Were you guys friends? Were you guys, did you guys grow up together? How did this partnership form?
Good question. So my family knows his family, and his name is Chris, as I mentioned. He's about 10 years older than I am. So I consider him a close family friend. And back when I was making these PowerPoint programs for my grandmother, he came over one day for dinner, and I happened to show him what I was working on. It was, you know, kind of an out of the blue, you know, you might be interested in what I'm doing type thing. And his eyes immediately lit up, as I described a few minutes ago. And he said, you know, Matt, you can do something more with this. And we identified that people, not only like my grandmother who had a terrible stroke, but people with, you know, a variety, you know, there's a very wide spectrum of stroke and stroke severity. And all different types of patients can benefit from my program, as well as those suffering from dementia, suffering from a traumatic brain injury, and suffering from a variety of other injuries, as I mentioned earlier. And so as soon as that use case kind of lit up in his head, and as soon as I realized it, we ran with it. And that was incredible. And, you know, we've been in this together ever since. And, you know, that's been about 8 of the past 10 years, which is really incredible.
Wow. That's very cool. That's very cool. So now you've explained to us how you use technology to manage your time as an individual, but within your company, how are Chris, you and the rest of your team use technology to be, I guess this is a startup, well, maybe still apply, to be more competitive, more efficient, basically?
That's a very good question. So in terms of communicating with each other, we all work, you know, we don't have a centralized office, as you know, so we're very reliant on, you know, sending emails and having work-based text messaging to, you know, make sure that we all stay on schedule and have our things rolled out on time. In terms of staying competitive, as I mentioned, we have, we hold a patent for the methodology behind our work, which is a huge asset, but as you know, it's not everything. So, right, but unfortunately, it's not everything in terms of if a, you know, bigger healthcare company wanted to copy what we do, we could, you know, pursue that, but it's, you know, you could become the main thing that we want to focus on is remaining strategically competitive. Correct. I don't know if we want to go down that route, but definitely a possibility. So yes, remaining, you know, sustainably competitive is a huge goal of ours, and that kind of goes back to the product development where, you know, as much as I need and have to focus on the big picture, focusing on the small picture, the tiny little details that will be incredibly useful to people, thinking about, you know, how will they use this product? I put myself in their shoes and they hit our homepage, if they hit our login screen, if they, you know, try to open a new cycle for a patient and something's not to their liking, we want to make sure that that's fixed as soon as possible. We want to cater to the experience of our users, and the more that we can please them, the more I think competitive and the, you know, the farther in front will come out. I think that's the most important thing in terms of designing a product that people will love.
Nice. That makes a lot of sense. So since you've been, I mean, you've been a company, you know, for 5 years, if I remember correctly. So, correct. So far, what has been your biggest success?
Our biggest success. Well, we recently rolled out, with much to your help, our beta of the Frenalytics platform. And we've reached all the way across to the west coast of the US, which I think is speaks volumes as to what we're doing, not only as a program and as a company, but also the mission that we're on, and realizing our potential for not only the elderly population, but those suffering from brain injuries, no matter what age they might be suffering those from. And, you know, being able to make an impact on people all around the United States and subsequently all around the world is an incredible feeling. The validation of, you know, meeting those people in person out in California, you know, really touched me personally, because it made me realize that my grandmother was just one person who suffered, but it that opened the door to make me realize that other people are as well. And to be able to apply my technology and the research that I did when I was 11 years old, to make it work for millions of people, to have the opportunity to reach that point, it's just really humbling. So I think that might be your
Matt, stop right there. We'll be right back. And we are back with Matt. He was explaining to us the biggest success that Frenalytics has had thus far, which is rolling out their beta up to California and having clinics actually use it. Matt, let you take it away from there.
Correct. And as I was saying, without Christian's, you know, involvement on our team, we would not have been able to reach the point of our beta as we have today. So that was a huge accomplishment for us to reach that over the summer and to talk with the folks out in California who were really interested in what we were doing, and meeting those people in person, as I was saying, was a very rewarding and validating feeling for us to know that all of the research and all of the time that I spent, you know, way back when, almost 10 years ago when I started this, is proving to be effective for patients of all ages, of all genders, of all races, of all mental capacities. So to be able to reach all those people and realize that, that what we're onto is something big was a great feeling and probably one of our biggest successes to date.
Very nice. Of course, I'm going to ask you what has been the biggest failure or disappointment or challenge thus far?
Sure. I think the biggest challenge, kind of alluding to what I was speaking to before, is trying to run this while I was in school for all these years. And because of that, I think we didn't jumpstart as quickly as we could have. And that might be one of our biggest downfalls or struggles, and something that, you know, if this happened, you know, while I was in college or once I graduated, I would have been able to focus 100% of my time. And unfortunately, because I had this thing, school in the way, I wasn't able to focus 100% as I wish I did. And, you know, maybe it's meant to be that we're a few years later to the game relative to when I started. But I think that, you know, I do believe that everything happens for a reason, but at the same time, I wish, you know, the sooner that I was able to pursue my dreams, the better.
Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, like you said, things happen for a reason, and the experience that you gathered along those years, refining the idea, because I looked at some of the diagrams and the sketches that you had, they were very well thought out, right? Because I think you had the time to basically refine the idea.
Exactly. So
maybe that was also one advantage.
Exactly. And that kind of alludes to the point of that, you know, this was meant to be, where we had these diagrams, you know, broken out years ago, but it did take us the time. You know, I did have to go through classes at college for a light to go off in my head and realize, oh, hey, we're supposed to be doing this a different way. And we needed so much time for the patent to go through the process and to ultimately be granted that. So perhaps it was meant to be that we waited until it was granted before starting work.
I see.
You know, it's hard to tell. Hindsight seems 2020, but I think it's, I do think that it's meant to be, and I hope that the success will follow in the years to come.
That's very cool. So you spoke about the patent. How, I mean, briefly, how was that process like?
Oh, it was dreadful. Twice a week or so, we would visit a patent office, which is about 45 minutes away from where I live.
Wow.
Chris would come work to our meetings. I was too young to even drive, so I had my parents drive me to the office, just to put into perspective of how young I was.
Wow.
And we went back and forth, back and forth between our attorney and his communications with the patent office. Our patent ended up being over 100 pages long.
Wow.
Which was really, yeah, that was a huge headache to have to manually read each and every time it came back to us with revisions that had to be made. So
Wow.
little things here and there. I learned a lot about the legal process as we were going through this, which I guess is helpful, but the legalese that are in these patents is very hard to read, and it didn't make
Wow.
much sense why the patent office would come back with a rejection. So that was another frustrating part of this whole process. But I'm glad we persevered because it ended up being really rewarding. But it was a big question mark at the time.
So
And
how
that process went on for about 4 or 5 years between the patent office and us,
Wow.
back and forth with a approval.
I have to commend you guys for the persistence. Wow, four or five
Thank you.
years and
I don't know
driving.
what I was thinking at the moment of why I thought we should go through with it, but hey, I'm really glad whatever that motivating factor was made me say yes.
Nice. That's very cool. So I mean, how did you feel like when the patent got approved, that the day where you got the approval notice, or however the approval gets delivered?
Oh, that was the best feeling in the world. I woke up one morning as a sophomore in college to an email that said, "Dear Matt, Chris, and the rest of my family who was involved in it, attached is a notice of allowance. You will receive a copy by mail. Congratulations." And it was probably the shortest email I've ever gotten that had such a profound impact on me. And I didn't know how to even handle it. I couldn't even control it. It was amazing.
Nice.
And to think that, going through this at that point, it was 4 or 5 years of dealing with the patent office and finally having a victory dealing with the patent office on our side was amazing. And strangely enough, the only time I had a dream involving my grandma was the night before I got that email. So I think she was on our
Oh,
side. I think she was watching over us. And I really do think that she stands with us even to this day. And I think that I hope that we make her proud with us.
wow, that is an amazing story. That is an amazing story. I think like you said, it seems like it's meant to be. And the thing that I commend you guys for is the fight, the fact that you didn't give up and you kept going. I can tell you
Thank you.
after the third year, I think I would have given up.
Oh, we were about to, trust me. It was a long ride, but
Nice,
if yeah, if
nice.
I could give advice with the patent office, it's to keep trying because in the end, if you persist hard enough and you have something great going on, it will
Come true.
pan out to be just fine, and it'll be a win in the end.
Gotcha. So we're coming close to the end of this interview. I have about I think two more questions. So at this point, Phrenalytics is still a startup, but I mean, without giving your game plan away, what do you think you need to do to grow or take your business to the your company to the next level?
I think having more guidance in terms of a strategy or marketing or some sort of person on our side who can help us reach the hospitals that we're looking to target and the clinics that we're looking to introduce this to would be a great asset to our team, not only
Understood.
for, getting this off the ground, but keeping this going and keeping it viable for years to come. And while I have my connections in healthcare, I think that bringing somebody on board would be really helpful in that regard. And I think that's probably the next step in our game plan to, make this as big of a thing as we want it to be.
Got you. So my question before the last one is, you're a millennial, right? Very young, making me look really old right now. So would you recommend to your friends, to people in your generation, to even younger people, to start, to get into entrepreneurship at a young age? Why or why not?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a very unique opportunity for somebody to be able to pursue if they have an idea that they are really passionate about, whether or not it already exists out there, even if it does, to bring your own spin to it and to kind of, breathe your own life into your passion. And to be able to kind of mark that saying that I made an impact on, whether it's one person, 10 people, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, the world. Even the smallest little product, it could be accidental. Like you think of Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg and creating a website that was in his Harvard dorm room and now, 2 billion people use it. And so, you never know what the outcome could be. And the bigger you dream, the broader your horizons, the broader you set your horizons to, the more you'll be able to accomplish. And I think that you know, instilling the positivity of entrepreneurship. Granted that, you know, the majority of startups will fail. That's just the inevitable truth.
Yeah.
But just instilling that drive in people to, you know, allow them to believe that they can achieve whatever they set their mind to, I think is a really important lesson for people to learn, especially when they're young, because if, you know, entrepreneurship isn't defined by age. As you see, I started this when I was 11.
Yes.
You know, so it's really never too young to be able to pursue whatever your dream is, whether it's creating a program to help stroke patients like myself, or you're creating a social media, you know, website when you're 17 in college, like Mark Zuckerberg did, or, you know, whatever your passion might be, if you follow it, you know, the guiding of entrepreneurship will be able to help you get there. And I think I would wholeheartedly encourage people to pursue entrepreneurship if they're really passionate about it.
Well, Matt, I have one last question for you, and I will ask you that when we come back. Stay tuned, guys. Bye-bye.
Get digital and go global with WebLeaseOft. At WebLeaseOft, we offer communication and IT services, create websites, mobile apps, and give you wide visibility on social media. Startupers, business persons, small and medium-sized enterprises, don't miss this opportunity. Get your website or mobile app now. Contact 673-042-029. Email info@webleaseoft.com. Think positive. Think WebLeaseOft.
Thank you for being back with us. Matt was basically telling us why he thought that young people should be entrepreneurs. And the last question that I have for Matt, which is a question that I ask all our guests, is basically, Matt, do you think that entrepreneurs are born or are made?
I think it's a little bit of both. I would definitely say to some extent that entrepreneurs can be born. I think from a young age, I really absorbed that from my parents and my family. A little bit of background on my mom. She is a pediatric nurse. As I mentioned, both of my parents are in the medical field. But my mom is a pediatric nurse. She founded her own home care agency back in 2001. Wow. So ever since I was young, I watched her grow her business, you know, from literally square one. And now, you know, she's doing incredibly successful, and she's a real inspiration to me to show that not only women entrepreneurs, but, you know, anyone who sets their mind to it, even if they're not in the field of business, can do extraordinarily well if they set their mind to it. So I think in an aspect, entrepreneurs are born, but I think entrepreneurs can be made also. So, you know, by default, I'm not sure if anybody necessarily grows up as the next Mark Zuckerberg, but exposing them to the philosophy that is entrepreneurship and and encouraging that kind of mindset, whether it's through, you know, online education, formal at a college or university, or, you know, whatever it might be, just surrounding yourself with people who think in a very forward way when it comes to entrepreneurship, I think that could really inspire people. So, for example, the classes that I took, I graduated from Boston College, and the business classes that I took are really helpful in, you know, building strategy and expansion and development for Frenalytics. But I think if I didn't already have that passion to some extent going into these business classes, I'm not sure how much they would inspire me. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think.
I see.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit born and a little bit made.
Okay. Very good answer. Well, Matt, it was a pleasure having you. And, you know, we, of course, we're going to keep working on Frenalytics. And I hope that in a few months we can basically have a podcast and basically maybe with Chris also, and basically announce to people, you know, that Frenalytics is out and you know, it's actually out of beta. You know, that would be
absolutely that sounds great.
That would be amazing. All right.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, Christian. Thank you.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We had fun talking with Matt, and we hope that you enjoyed the conversation. I just wanted to mention that if you want to learn more about Frenalytics, please go to their website at frenalytics.com, which is FRENALYTICS.com. Again, it's FRENALYTICS.com. And by the way, Frenalytics stands, it comes from the brain. Fren means the brain, I think, in Latin. That's where the name come from. I forgot to ask that to Matt during our interview. He did mention that to me afterwards. Again, thank you so much for being part of the Startup Trailblazer podcast. And if you have any feedback, do not hesitate to send us a note. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.